You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With the pump fake and a one dribble inside to the long two, and he makes it. That's been his game his whole career. But look at him smiling. We go, my bad. The long two. My bad.
Welcome to another episode of The Long Two. I am Pete Rogers. He is Natty Wallach. And we are a Camelo Stanthony podcast that occasionally talk fantasy basketball. Natty, how you doing today?
Copacetic, bro. How you doing? What's up?
Copacetic. Copacetic as always. Now, we did our deep dive into the Houston Rockets last week, and Natty was all like on our Slack channel, maybe we should do a deep dive into the Magic. And I was like, well, no one wants that. And Natty was like, you're right, Pete. No one does want that. So, instead,
is that how it went?
I'm pretty sure verbatim that's exactly okay. How it went.
It was a long time ago earlier.
I know.
For sure.
Exactly.
Like, it wasn't like Pete said, fuck Orlando. Oh, right, the bubble. Maybe we should do something nice for them. No, fuck them.
So instead of doing one team, we are each going to put on the GM cap, and we're going to pick a team and one move that we would make as the GM of that team, and just use that as an avenue to kind of discuss maybe some teams that could be active this offseason, or at the very least maybe have a move that could be made that could really either help them tank or help them make their way into the NFL NBA playoffs. You can tell that I
shit's gonna go crazy. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm gonna pull a Pelicans and be the GM for both a football and basketball team.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Also, should say I did not pick Orlando as the team I was going to GM. So, sorry, even Orlando.
Even you agree that they're a stupid team to talk about.
I want to trade Aaron Gordon so bad. It's just that, like, since the season really ended, I've been thinking about what the Pistons can do mostly. So I focused on them.
If you want to trade Aaron Gordon, let me put the cap on and start us off here then, Natty.
Do it, buddy.
We love this team. I'm going to talk about the Phoenix Suns. I'm going to take over them. We love this team. This team should have been a playoff team in the bubble. We saw just a beautiful coalition of this team rise and go undefeated in the bubble. And then through terrible seeding, we're unable to actually make the playoffs, which is dumb. But this is a team that we are both, me especially, are very excited about in 2021. And you want him traded? I am getting him traded. The Suns, the one move I would love to make as a Phoenix Suns GM is to do a sign and trade with Kelly Oubre to go get Aaron Gordon. For the Magic, Oubre is recovering from a torn meniscus, but young, extremely productive for the Suns last year when healthy. He was averaging almost 20 a game, which is huge. Like, he is emerged as a phenomenal offensive threat.
The Wizards never should have traded.
The Wizards, what are we doing here, buddy? He'll pair really nicely with Jonathan Isaac. And the nice thing, I think, for the Magic here is that Isaac obviously is recovering from his blown knee. He has a torn ACL, right? He tore it in the bubble.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that sucks. But you're having two young players who are both recovering from major injuries, which is not ideal, but for the Magic, you get a guy who scores 20 a game, but also slows down their timetable a little bit. I think the Magic can then pitch this as this, like, look, our two studs are recovering from injury. We're going to take things a little bit slower. We're going to ease them back into it. And it allows them to kind of hopefully fall out of this middling purgatory that, like, Vucevic and Aaron Gordon has kind of kept them at, you know, and maybe it's 1 year of underperforming in order to get better picks, to get better value. And then you have you come into 2022 with a fully healed Jonathan Isaac, Kelly Oubre, young studs, young team. Now we're ready to ride. So I think that this move for the Magic kind of helps slow down that timeline a little bit and gives them the time to maybe let Jonathan Isaac fully recover and not be rushed back into it, kind of like he was in the bubble and why he got re-injured. And then for the Suns, this move makes a ton of sense because you're adding a much better Dario Saric, basically. A guy who can average 15 points per game, 8 boards, get you defense, and can switch onto the perimeter, play into the paint. Like, we've seen Aaron Gordon's defense kind of not become elite, but certainly he's taken big strides in that. And he's a guy who can do the switching that the NBA is now you know, known for. And I think he's a perfect third option behind Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. And I think that just, he would pair really nicely with that team. You could go small with him. He could play big with Ayton. And so I just think that this is a move that, as the Suns, this is what I would make to put them forward, take a big step into contention in the West.
I like that trade a lot for all parties concerned.
Thank you.
For Aaron Gordon, I think it's just time for a change of scenery.
Yeah.
Like, he's still only 25, I think, or 26, but it feels just been there forever.
It's stupid because I was like, oh, and the Magic get younger with Kelly Oubre. No, Kelly Oubre and Aaron Gordon are the same age.
That's crazy.
It's absurd.
That's crazy. They're both 24. Is that they are?
I think so, yeah.
Man, I've liked Oubre for a long time. We both like.
Oh yeah, DC. He's on my fantasy team. I love him.
I like it for Phoenix because I think that, like, I don't know how big of an upgrade that is. It would take them a sec, I think, to find their groove. But Rubio's there and would be able to help, and right. You know, that would sort of solidify their perimeter defense on the wing. He can also go, and so they can be a really good team in transition, which I think would be best for them. For the Magic, I like it because the pause for two of their best players, like you said, Isaac and Oubre, would also mean that Fultz sort of gets, like, in a down year where they're not trying to make the playoffs. Mm. He sort of gets a low pressure, you know, like, this is just more reps. Let's just keep going, you know, like, it's sort of yours and Vooch's team right now. And maybe maybe the Magic end up being able to flip Vooch later on in the season. I think he has a $20 million contract or something like that. Yeah. Who's a good offensive player, you know, a good offensive big who can shoot from outside. Like, that's probably going to be pretty, well, who knows what's going on with the money, but it should be attractive.
You could totally see him, right? You could totally see him at the deadline, a team that's like on the brink of contention being like, this is the piece that we need, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, and fuck it. You could see the Celtics being like, hey, this is the piece that we need.
Yeah, why not? It's like, Vucevic is a good player. It's just that when the Magic aren't good, like, no one knows they exist. They're right. Just... like, Aaron Gordon should have had a bigger profile in the league, probably. It's just that, you know, you can't when you're constantly the eighth and ninth seed in Orlando. You know, like, Miami has all this success. You're just not a very sexy team, and you've really missed on some draft picks. They also have, like, some shooter, like, Evan Fournier you can flip. Like, they do have a path to tanking pretty smartly, I think. So I like that a lot. I like a low pressure year for Fultz because I think the more reps for him, the better. And if it's just sort of like his team because of the injuries, then I think that's even better because then, you know, a two-man game with him and Vucevic would probably be pretty good for his development, I think.
Yeah, and I love the Fultz take. That's a great one.
There's just also, like, with Isaac being out, it doesn't really seem like Orlando could compete for the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, if they want to try to compete for the eighth seed again, then sure, I guess, fine. But it doesn't really seem like there's a good reason to. Like, this is like the year that Golden State just had. You know, like, their two best players, they're out. Okay, cool. Then we're just going to try to fucking restock. And
right.
This is an off year. Like, that's... that seems like it's the smartest thing to do.
Totally. And fantasy wise, I mean, get me Kelly Oubre running an offense all by himself and let's see what he can do. I am here for that. I mean, he averaged 18 per game with Devin Booker next to him. Like, let's see what he can do when he is the number one scoring option or number two with Vooch.
And, you know, it's a team that they're not like a great defense or anything, but it is a team that tries to play good defense. And that would be good for Oubre too. Little undisciplined sometimes, but he's still super young. I don't know. I like this a lot. I think that it would help both players and both teams. That's a good trade. I like that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, mainly we've talked about this one a lot. And it's just like, I do agree. Ultimately, with your first point that you said, where it's like, Aaron Gordon needs a change of scenery. Like, let's get him out from under Orlando. Let's let Orlando do kind of a soft rebuild, soft reboot. And let's get Aaron Gordon to a place where, you know, maybe he starts his play is more widely recognized. And, you know, I need to see me some Suns in the playoffs this year. Who are you taking over, Natty? Who's your GM cap associated with?
Okay, so I'm the Los Pistones, obviously.
Of course.
Basketball in the D. And the reason why is not just because they're my team, but it's because of a rumored trade from way, way, way back in the long, long ago, back in like February, which is when the last trade was, I think. But D-Rose for Kuzma. Mm. Like, the Lakers really wanted Derek
Rose. And you want this?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Kuzma is from Flint. Like, let's bring him home. That would be awesome. D-Rose gets to go chase a ring. If you're a Derek Rose guy, then that's cool. To me, he will always be a Bull. I don't like having him on my team. His comeback story is great. Like, he just looked so spectacular for Detroit, and it was like really, really awkward liking those games and watch it. But, you know, like, there's Detroit doesn't need an old. They don't need a point guard like him more than a wing like Kuzma. You know, like, that's just not where they are right now. So I still really like that trade.
Yeah. And especially, I mean, we saw some good Kuzma stuff in the playoffs too, when he was, you know, given minutes to rely on. He still does a little bit of the Kuzma young kind of like, oh, am I supposed to do this right here? But we did see some good stuff from him in the playoff run.
And I'd like to see what he's never going to be higher than third banana on a team with LeBron and AD. No one will be. So, and, you know, depending on the moves they make, he could fall even further down. So going to a team like Detroit, where they're hoping to make the playoffs, but there just aren't more stars. You know, it's Blake, and then that's Dr. Doom is there, but he's even younger than Kuzma. So I think Kuzma could really take on more responsibility and we'd be able to see what he can do. And I think he's a fun player to watch when he gets going. He's still a little gangly, but I like watching him play. And I think his development will be stunted if he stays on the Lakers.
Totally.
Meanwhile, D-Rose, like, you're a Hall of Fame player. Go get a ring. That's cool. That's fine.
Yeah, and he fits exactly what the Lakers, you know, I think are going to be looking for in this offseason, which is a point guard who can handle the ball. And when LeBron and, you know, AD are off the court, who can run an offense and get you buckets. Like, if you were to bring back Rondo, which I think they will, but if you were to have a Rondo D-Rose rotation at point, like, that seems pretty ideal to me. You have the defense and passing of Rondo as well as the defense and passing, but primarily offensive scoring that we've seen now finally Derrick Rose kind of come back to.
And it strangely sort of feels like it's easier for the Lakers to get like veteran wings for the perimeter than it is to get another good guard. Like, Avery Bradley is going to, I think he has a player option and he'll pick that up. But who knows if he'll be on the team or not. You kind of have to bring back Rondo, but he'll cost more money. So if you can get a bunch, if you know that you're going to be getting ring chasers and they're going to be guys that sort of fit the mold of what LeBron is looking for, you know, like the height of J.R. Smith, outside shooting. You know, D-Rose is another guy who can create offense and can run the offense when everybody else is sitting. And if LeBron wanted him last year, I don't know why he wouldn't want him again this year. Like, he's not that, he's $7 million. So there's ways to make the trade work pretty easily. Like, it won't take a lot of pieces. I don't think you, like, are picks involved? Like, who cares? Why?
Yeah.
Also, no, which team says no?
Right. No, I like it a lot. And Derrick Rose, 18 points on 26 minutes last year for Detroit. Which is,
he looked great. It sucked. Great. It sucked so bad, you guys. Y'all, he's a bull.
You guys I don't even know how much it sucked for Natty. The pain.
And I loved him. Like, he was such a force of nature. He was
Oh my God. Before the pre-ACL is
Yeah,
just Derek unreal. Rose, I feel like the pre-ACL Derrick Rose is one of those situations where younger people are going to be like, oh yeah, like there's the Derrick Rose hype, that sure. That, like, if you didn't live through, if you weren't a fan during the D-Rose, you're just never going to appreciate like those 2009 to like 2012 when he was just averaging like 23 a game and was hitting all kinds of game-winning shots. And the biggest thing for me, man, was his explosiveness was
crazy.
Absurd. Absolutely absurd. I mean, it totally makes sense why he, you know, destroyed his knees, because he would just like explode off of one foot and then dead stop and go the completely other direction, still at top speed somehow. He is without a doubt one of the most explosive athletes I have ever seen play any sport. It was just remarkable to watch him. I mean, just go watch his MVP highlight reel and tell me that like you have seen someone who is more athletic than him. I mean, he looks more athletic than Westbrook, than John Wall. Like, he was a whole different beast.
And it wasn't sneaky, you know? And it wasn't like Quicksilver, sort of like De'Aaron Fox, where it's just like, oh shit, wait a second, where'd he go? Like,
right.
You saw D-Rose coming, and he fucking just got there anyway.
Oh,
and
God.
It was at the... it was just so... You knew it was coming every single time, though. Like, when he got to the top of the key, it was right. Like, okay, now the afterburners go on and I go to the rim. It's like,
you know,
okay,
what it was
cool.
Is it feels and they're entirely different players, entirely different body types and sizes, but it's that same feeling of Giannis driving to the hoop on a like on a fast break, or when he gets the rebound and he's going down the court and you're just like, Giannis is going to score here. Like, you could put six people in the paint, Giannis is going to score here. Derrick Rose was the exact same way. Derrick Rose would get the ball at half court and just like start going and would do his Euro step at the paint. And you're just like, I don't care how many people you put in front of Derrick Rose. Somehow he's going to contort his body, get the ball in, and get an and one. You're going to foul him and he's going to score.
Yeah, he'd cradle the ball. He'd, you know, bounce off of someone. He'd get that grimace on his face and then put it up and get to the line. He was just strong. That was real. I mean, he was the MVP. Like, there's a reason why those couple of years were that really felt like, oh shit, the Bulls got another one. God damn it.
Yeah.
And it was going to change the NBA. And that injury changed a lot, because Derrick Rose is, if that hadn't happened, he would be one of the players that ring chasers go to play with, you know, like that Bulls team.
I mean,
That well run, but like, they could have gotten dudes around him.
Well, that was what I was going to ask, is it's like, if Derrick Rose didn't tear his ACL, do the Bulls have a championship between then and now?
Yes.
I have to think so, right?
I think they do.
I mean, that's what, 12, almost 10 years? And in that time span, Derrick Rose playing at the height of his powers at 23 years old. Like, that's the other thing too. I mean, we talk about, like, this is always the thing with basketball that just like blows my fucking mind, is that you talk about, you know, Kevin Durant at his pinnacle, like Kevin Durant when he was with OKC or with at the tail end of OKC or with Golden State. Like Golden State, Kevin Durant, 28 when he signed with that. And even now he's 30 and you're still going to be like, Kevin Durant is one. I just saw someone posted a highlight reel of Kevin Durant shooting over other people. And it's just like, when he is on, that jump shot is unstoppable. You can't stop Kevin Durant from scoring the basketball if he wants to. But it's crazy to me that like a basketball player's peak often comes in their late 20s. And Derrick Rose was peaking at 23. And then it's like, what is the late 20s peak? I mean, we're even seeing him at 30 now, like recreating himself, averaging almost 20 a game. Like what would have a 28-year-old Derrick Rose have looked like? And it would have been incredible.
And that was when Tibbs and his new kind of defense was really destroying the league.
Yeah.
And, you know, post-Celtics championship. And D-Rose seems like a Tibbs guy, which in retrospect...
which is a rarity. Not a lot of those guys.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, but when you are a Tibbs guy, it seems like you're one of the best players in the league. So like Jimmy Butler, D-Rose... And that team had real players, and it just fucking crashed so bad and so hard. And I do sort of wonder if the sheen of the Bulls has sort of worn off. Like, it's been so long since MJ that
it's been so long since just, like, success.
Well, when Derrick Rose, after his MVP year, there were always rumors like, okay, yeah, X superstar is like considering going to visit the Bulls. You know, like Chicago was one of the teams where people could see themselves go like forcing a trade to or something like that. And, you know, Garpax played it how they played it, and D Rose got injured and everything just sort of like imploded. But it wasn't just because Derrick Rose was there. It was because, oh shit, yeah, that Red Bulls jersey. I get to wear that. Like, I get to be a part. I get to be closer to MJ somehow and Pippen and those amazing teams. And now it's sort of like they're just another dumb Midwest team, you know?
Yeah.
Like, doesn't really feel like anyone's trying to force their way to Chicago.
Well, it's also because it's not only just that, like, kind of the allure has waned, but it's also, like, with the Celtics, you had the transition from Doc to Brad with still Danny Ainge, with still all of the ownership and the, you know, the staff remaining intact. But you had this clear transition to, like, a head coach who got it, had a plan. This team was, like, on the right track, whereas it feels like the Bulls didn't have that. The Bulls kind of went into chaos after Derrick Rose went down, and it was kind of like, and now they've just been kind of scrambling, and you haven't yet had, you know, the allure of being a Chicago Bull hasn't yet paired with a coach that people are like, yes, this is a direction that I can vibe with, that I can believe in. I mean, it took the Celtics, like Al Horford was the big signing that the Celtics made, was like the first in forever. And so it took a while for the Celtics to, you know,
sure,
be able to capitalize upon the history and then not the nostalgia, but like the magic, I guess, of like wearing, donning the green. And so I think for the Bulls, what you need to do is you need to put together like a couple of years of at least competence and have a coach and a front office who's just kind of like, there is a vision. And then maybe some of that allure comes back and you're like, okay, yeah, I can kind of see what's happening. I can kind of see where this is going. I mean, we didn't even mention the fact this is, I guess, just becoming a Bulls podcast right now. Like you go from Derrick Rose and then you get Jimmy Butler as your building piece. And that also kind of falls by the wayside thanks to Tom Thibodeau. So like I think the way that you've seen, I mean, the Derrick Rose injuries, you can't really, that's just kind of freak of nature instance, but like also Jimmy Butler's falling out with them. You can also see is just kind of like, all right, well, like what is Chicago's relationship with star players? Do I want to be there? Who am I going to be there with? Like Zach LaVine fucking hates, you know, boiling before he got fired. So it's just like, it just seems like they haven't put themselves in a position where they are desirable outside of just being like, oh my God, I get to wear the same jersey that Jordan wore.
And Chicago does have a new front office. They changed away from Garpax, who were just getting pilloried over the last like 5 to 6 years, really. But they, like, even before D-Rose got there, the Vinny Del Negro, like, Captain Kirk Bulls with Little Nate, like, that was one of that playoff series against Boston. Like, yeah. That was absolutely one of the coolest things ever. Those games were on fire. Charlie Villanueva was on that team, is that right? Or was he on the Pistons then, or the Bucks?
He might have been on the...
Too many Midwestern players. It's fine. They all
Charlie
sorted...
Villanueva. What a throwback.
Yeah, wow.
I have never seen a man more hairless than Charlie Villanueva.
Oh, dude. And like when he was on, like when he was being a really helpful player, it was just like, yes, you're the exact kind of fucking Piston I want. And it just didn't happen like a lot. But it's like a lot of those, like Ben Gordon just sort of like combusted after looking like one of the better players in the league.
Oh my God, that's right,
man. They had some really good players, and it just
forgot about Ben Gordon.
Like, what the hell happened?
Ben Gordon, 2006-2007, 21 points per game. Good Lord, Ben. Oh, he's from London. He was born in London.
Yeah.
Anyways,
and seemed like. I mean, the sky was the limit, really. Like,
and
all these guys defended hard.
These players are all too young.
It's crazy.
It should be like a career
changed so fast.
A career shouldn't be ending, and it's like, oh yeah, he's my age. That just makes me feel fucking old.
The common thread with all of that is Tibbs, and this is, you know, him and D'Antoni rode their fucking players into the goddamn ground over and over and over and over again. D'Antoni finally mellowed out a little bit, sort of. We'll see with Tibbs. I mean, those Knicks players, they better get ready. RJ.
Oh, my God. That's right. He's on the Knicks. Oh, yeah.
Julius Randle's let's go, baby. Yes.
God, that is so Knicks. Going to cut in to quickly take a ad break.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right. Back to whatever it was that we were talking about.
I was looking at the roster. I was like, I don't want to be the GM. I don't want to do this.
The worst. That is, you asked me on Slack. You said, what did I consider the worst GM spots? For me, it's the Knicks or the Cavs.
With both of those teams, you just have to sort of wait it out. Like,
I mean, the Knicks is just like you have James Dolan just like hovering over your shoulder constantly, which is just never a good situation.
They weren't able to like move as many of the dudes that they signed to 1 or 2 year deals as I think that they were hoping to.
Yes.
So they just sort of wasted a year and
such a hot mess.
And like, why the fuck would Fred VanVleet want to sign there? You know, why would anyone serious want to go there unless they just don't have any other suitors, which is totally possible. But they should just keep their powder dry and be bad again. And that sucks for Knicks fans, but like, how good could you possibly be?
But like, at what point is that just, I mean, talk about a franchise that we just spend all this time talking about the Bulls losing all of their like mystique or whatever.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they actually have five starters. Like they don't have a terrible team.
They at least fielded a team. Like,
I thought they'd make the playoffs.
Garbage. Oh my God. The Knicks are just fucking trash. Like no one wants to put on that jersey because it is awful. There's nothing good. And then for the Cavs, it's like, what is this roster that you have? You have like 15 bigs and 13 wing guys, none of whom can play together. It's just a terribly constructed roster.
Kevin Love and Dre Drum. and Sexland and Chidi Osmond and Tristan Thompson and Larry Nance Jr. And
what are you doing with these guys?
Dude, like, how I still I still just don't understand the drum. Like, that just doesn't make any sense to me.
It's so dumb. It's so dumb. Unless you're just deciding to go big ball and you're going to play like Kevin Love at the, he's going to be a point forward. You're going to play him at the one. You're going to play drum at the five. You're going to play Nance at the three. And you're going to play Tristan at the four. And then you'll put in one of your Sexton or Garland at the two. There you go. I made the only functioning lineup the Cavs can roster.
Man. Caleb's contract goes to 22-23. Wow.
Hey, man, Kevin Love played the best defense anyone's ever played on Steph Curry, so I think he can guard ones pretty regularly.
I mean, that's a dude that absolutely could get moved. Like, that could be the big piece that gets moved to a team just because the Cavs don't seem to have used their draft picks wisely. I mean, I like Darius Garland and Colin Sexton sort of individually. I'm not really sure if it's a smart thing to do to try to develop two young guards at the same time. I mean, like, this, like, what is on this team, dude? Like,
nothing. There's nothing there. Like, at least the Knicks, you have something, and you can always, with the Knicks, you can always, we just talked about how, you know, the mystique is dead, but like, you can always like whisper in the ear of maybe not a superstar, but like a budding star to be like, look, come here.
Oh yeah. Come win you in can, New York. You'll be the
you
king
can,
of,
right.
Yeah.
You could be a god here. You could be a god here if all you do is win. Whereas like, the fuck are the Cavs going to say to anyone, come here and you'll never be as good as LeBron.
And we have a ring. Like, this is all
right,
gravy.
Right.
I mean,
right,
the Cavs could jettison everybody. I don't care about Sexland. Get rid
they
of them.
Should.
Like,
they should. They should just complete, flush it, restart.
And the thing about the Knicks is that you don't even need to win a championship to run this town. Like, get to the Eastern Conference Finals. You have no idea. The whole town would go ape. Even Brooklyn now with the Nets. Like, if the Knicks did well in the playoffs, every Net fan, maybe not the, like the 10-year-olds, but like basically everyone here would be like, "That's cool. That's
I bet. Right. If the Knicks made it to the playoffs and the Nets made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, the Knicks would still get more runtime in New York.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Like, it's just not even – like, the Knicks just even making it to the playoffs would be the greatest thing on, you know, since sliced bread. And if, like, Durant and Kyrie led them to the Eastern Conference Finals and then either won or lost, it would be like, well, KD and Kyrie couldn't do it. Let's – they need more help. Whereas we'd be like, oh, my God, Julius, right? Like, these guys – happened. It happened. The Knicks made it to the playoffs, you guys. This is truly incredible.
But like, the Knicks make news even though they haven't been relevant since Carmelo. And that's just sort of a function of being, you know, it's the same with the Yankees. It's the same with the Giants and the Jets. It's the same sort of with the Mets to a lesser degree, but like, that's a team that's known nationally, and it's, you know, the media market is here. It's a huge town. It's New York City, and the fans go apeshit. And then they go out and spread all over the country. Like, there's New Yorkers everywhere.
Oh yeah.
The amount of like angst over the New York Giants is always just amazing. Cause you're like, you guys, even when you've been good, it's been bullshit. Like, you know, you're like, you're like 7-9, like, who cares? Or 9-7. It's, and you hate Eli Manning every other 5 minutes. But the thing about the Knicks is that it is still the Mecca, and every player still loves playing at the Garden. So if you can get a competent team together, it will elevate the Knicks brand again. Because all of a sudden, like, the crowd is back in with you.
Right.
If we have crowds.
Fair point.
You know, like, there's – the NBA is better when the Knicks are good. Like, that's just
– yeah.
And it's been a while.
And it just
been a while, Melo.
It's been forever, and it's just another note in the long note train of like owners hire smart people and then let them make the decisions. You don't know basketball. I'll say this to all owners in all sports. You don't know sports. Like Jerry Jones is fucking tanked the Cowboys more often than not because he's like, I think I know better than my guy who I hired to know sports. It's like James Dolan, you have this gold mine on your hands. Just let them fucking build a team. Don't put your little sticky, gross, grubby fingers in everything. Let them build the team.
And don't double down on bad, you know, like shouldn't terrible have kept contracts. Isaiah Thomas around and shouldn't have been so demanding about some other thing. And really,
maybe shouldn't have traded Kristaps Porzingis. Is that something that they shouldn't have done?
Except, maybe? Okay, what's worse to you? Is the unicorn trade worse or is the haul to Denver for Melo worse? Because Melo was coming to New York. They could have just waited.
That is,
you know,
true.
Like, and the reason it didn't work is because, you know, like, I guess Carmelo could have said, no, if you don't trade for me, then I'll walk and I'll go somewhere else. But, like, he seems like he was pretty intent on playing for the Knicks.
Yeah. So just for those who wanted to hear, because it's hilarious and I love it. Carmelo Anthony and Chauncey Billups to the Knicks. The Knicks then sent to the Nuggets Wilson Chandler, Raymond Felton, Danilo Gallinari, Timothy Mozgov, a 2014 first-round pick, and swapping the rights of the 2016. And then Denver also got Kustas Kustovs in a deal with the Timberwolves. So, love it.
Who'd they take with the 14 pick, does it say?
20, let's look. Let's see. You pontificate for a while. And 2014 NBA draft. And
like
let's
a six-year player. Man, but that's the thing. It's like Carmelo and Chauncey. That it's great that Carmelo and Chauncey are on your team. I love both of these guys, and they are a good core to build around. And Denver was really, really good with them. But if you're going to give away the whole goddamn store, then what's the point? Like, you need more than just the ring chasers and just the minimum contracts. You have to be able to provide a high floor for your team if you're expecting to have a high ceiling. You can't just like let the floor break underneath these guys and you're not even in contention. But
all right, I can't, like, fucking NBA drafts are too insane. But the Nuggets took Doug McDermott at 11 overall, but then traded him to Chicago.
That's right.
Orlando Magic from New York via Denver traded to Philly. Took Dario Saric.
Yeah.
So that's the pick, I think. It was 12th overall.
Yeah.
It's just like, what is that?
That pick.
That is, what is the gibberish? Orlando Magic from New York via Denver traded to Philly. Good God.
But that's
You're right, though. Chicago Bulls. All right. So this is what happened. This is what ultimately it was. Is you just got Gary Harris. You're right. Gary Harris was it. Is that
God?
They did a swap. The Bulls drafted Gary Harris, and they swapped for Doug McDermott.
Whoa! Holy
well done,
shit.
Chicago. Good move on that.
Wow, that is amazing.
Oh,
that's
Chicago.
Crazy.
Just
yo, Gary Harris is a player that could be on the Knicks next year. Like, he's a tradable guy.
Yeah, you know who the Nuggets drafted in the second round at pick 41 overall?
Is he tall?
He is pretty tall.
Okay.
He's decently good at passing the basketball.
Hmm. Is he from America?
No. Funny story.
Then I don't know. Yeah. Who is it?
Nikola Jokic, baby.
Dude,
big
like him
pie.
And Draymond are the two best second
Seriously.
Round picks ever. And
yeah,
they didn't happen that far apart. And they both like sort of lost out because they were a little chubby.
But hey, man, Jeremy Grant, two picks ahead of Jokic. Spencer Dinwiddie, right above Jeremy Grant. All right, well, now we're just going down a rabbit hole of me reading the 2014. NBA
it's a crazy draft, though, because it's
oh my
like,
God.
I mean, you just the draft is always hard and people fuck up and do ridiculous shit like not taking Luka Doncic number one
overall. Always and forever. Always and forever. That is, will go down as just, I'm sorry. It doesn't even matter if whatever Trae Young ultimately accomplishes in his career.
Who cares? What? No, it's not even that. It's like Devin Booker and Luka Doncic should be playing basketball together. And
yes,
it's, wow. But he's, but somehow Dallas gets it because they have a unicorn. It's ridiculous.
Love it.
I can't believe it.
I fucking love it. All right.
I had one more Pistons idea for you, okay, if you don't mind.
Before we went on this massive tangent.
Well, I mean, the league might start in 5 minutes, so we don't know when people can get traded. We don't know when free agency is going to start. We don't know how long it's going to last. We don't know how much money everyone's going to get paid. We don't know whether they'll be having games in bubbles or not. We don't know if there will be fans. Like, we don't know a shitload. And yeah, they're trying to start within 2 months.
It is pretty crazy. Give me your Pistons move, your other Pistons move that you would make.
Okay, so I wondered if you can do a Wiggins for Blake trade.
Ooh, okay. Tell me more.
And like, you could include other players and, you know, picks if you want to and blah, blah, blah. I don't really care. I'm the Pistons GM, and I'm telling Golden State, Blake's been resting because we didn't make the playoffs, so he's had time to heal. And when he was healthy last time, he was an all-star, and he was a point forward, and he looked absolutely fucking amazing. Wiggins is maybe not the dude that really elevates the Golden State Warriors back to where they used to be, like with Kevin Durant. Maybe Blake Griffin, a healthy Blake Griffin, is a Blake Griffin that doesn't have to handle all the scoring.
Yep.
And can pass. And maybe he can play. I mean, does he even need to play small ball center? Because Dre's there. Like, he's
right. He could just,
it could be sort of an easy life for him, right?
I think it would be an ideal life for him.
You know, better 3-point shooting. Like, if he's all the way healthy, then maybe that's, just because of the size of the contracts, like, maybe that's the best player Golden State could actually get, you know, like, well, realistically. And, you know, for the Pistons, you get a young player in Maple Jordan. And as I said before, we fucking suck. And, you know, it's totally fine to, it, like, I don't care that he costs a lot of money. The Pistons are going to have a lot of cap space. We might as well spend it on a player who can score 20 points per game. And, you know, then you get him and Dr. Doom, Dookie Lukey together. Who knows what else happens? You know, maybe we re-sign Wood, although he might be a little bit more expensive than people think. You know, but the trade was interesting to me because, A, the money's so big that people always say that it's hard to move those contracts, but those contracts keep getting moved in most off seasons. Chris Paul most recently.
Yeah. I don't think contracts,
and he might get moved again.
Right. I think people like love, it's like that, how the NFL, there's like the NFL loves to be like, well, cap space is an issue with these teams. Like, teams will make the cap work. Like, you, yeah, that's not really going to preclude someone from getting the player they want. I think the same thing is true where it's like, yeah, obviously not every single team is going to go after Blake because of his contract, but is his contract really going to make the Warriors be like, or any team that really wants him, they're not going to be like, nah, got it. We would love Blake, but his contract is just too big for us. Like, they will make it work in order to add him.
Yeah, if you think that you can win a title, then of course this money is worth it. Come on in. Also, his contract isn't as long as K-Love's, I don't believe. It's just a few more. It's just this and next. A healthy Blake Griffin is, I think, one of the 20 best players in the league. And a physical presence like what he can be is going to be extremely helpful for the Golden State Warriors,
yeah,
if they want to get through some of these Western teams that are all of a sudden pretty fucking big.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great move for them. And the Warriors are like pretty open about trying to shop that second overall pick. because what are they going to get that's ultimately going to help them?
Totally. And if I'm the Pistons, I'm like, yo, we don't even like, we'd like the pick, but we don't need the pick. Like if you, it's fine.
Give us Wiggins in the second and we'll give you, you know, Blake and whatever, you know.
Dude, I like Blake and the six for Wiggins. Sure. And the two. Like, I don't even care about the draft picks. I really don't. Like, no, I just think like, the player movement makes more sense.
No, I like it. I like it. And what a nice little way to conclude things.
Did you have any Boston, you know, any like, oh, but if I was the GM?
No, I trust my boy Danny Ainge. Right, I think the biggest thing they need to do is just get a startable center and figure out, and it's all going to revolve around Gordon Hayward. Is Gordon Hayward the piece that they can move. I saw some fucking dumbass publication being like, maybe they trade Marcus Smart. And I was like, go fuck yourself. They're never trading Marcus Smart.
Tradable contract, but it's like, it would be ripping out your heart.
No, unless they're like, I saw, oh, what was it? It was trading Marcus to the Warriors for Draymond. And I was like, why? Why? What does that get you?
What does that ridiculous. Do for any team? Just 2K-ing shit.
Yeah.
I did want to ask you, on Slack, I wondered why the NBA... So the NBA wants to start early. They want to start Christmas rather than in February. And that's going to be pretty tough for the teams that went deep into the playoffs.
Right.
My question is, why can't the non-bubble teams just start the season early and play 9 games or however many games were played in the bubble, just so that those teams can get their stats up to where the bubble teams have? Like, because the bubble games didn't count for your historical stats, I don't think. Like, they're just sort of off to the side. I don't think that adds your
ethos.
Yeah, which is fucking crazy for, you know, some of the players like Donovan Mitchell or Jamal. Like, that's
right.
A little bit insane. But if you gave the non-bubble teams those games back, then maybe you could count all of it. And then you give the playoff teams like a little bit more time to like rest and do some, you know, training camp and not rush back. Because Danny Green, he came right out and said like they might start in December, but LeBron won't be there and I won't be there, you know, like
right.
the star players, the older players, they don't, or the ones that were in the bubble anyway, they couldn't care less. But half the league wasn't in the bubble, so or wasn't in the playoffs, so maybe those teams are raring to go, you know, like Cleveland, they do have young players that they would like to get reps. They'd probably like to start sooner than later. Did it with Phoenix, I bet.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I mean, would you then?